From the BBC in London, this is Brian Matthew introducing The Beatles Story. It's November 1969. The flow of recordings under the Beatles' banner is drying up. In the past year, there's only been one album issued, the fine Abbey Road. But the individual members of the group are making more and more solo trips to the recording studios. John and his new wife, Yoko Ono, are becoming increasingly concerned about peace in the world. For the once indivisible four, it seems all things must pass. Part 11, The End of the Beatles.
It's not really the end of the Beatles. The Beatles are going to go on till they die, you know? I mean, we can't get away from being the Beatles. I can see this year us all doing a separate album each, and by that time people will probably think there's no chance at all of there ever being Beatles again, and then suddenly there'll be Beatles again.
George Harrison, words and music from 1970. By the start of 1970, all the Beatles had written so much music they wanted to record that it was impossible to contain it on Beatle albums alone. They would have had to spend half their lives working together in the studios. So the result was that the boys started to work more on their own. Paul had a studio built at home and worked there. John cut off his Beatle locks during a trip to Denmark and soon after started to record with George and Yoko under Phil Spector's supervision. This instant hit, Instant Karma. David Wigg talked to John Lennon about this one.
I want records to be like newspapers, you know. I'd like it to come out at least once a week or twice a week or something like that. And with this song, we wrote it in the morning, recorded it and remixed it and got it out in a week here on the stage, which is pretty fast moving. I want it to be like that, you know. I want to be able to put it out as it happens, you know. I write songs about what's happening to me that moment, and I want it to be out that moment, and I don't care what name goes on it, you know.
Are you, in fact, going your own way with Yoko these days? Because that is the impression one has.
Well, each Beatle's going, doing his own thing at the moment, you know, and it's like, it could be a rebirth or a death, you know, and we'll see what it is, you know, but it'd probably be a rebirth, you know, for all of us.
When do you, in fact, plan to record with the Beatles again?
At the moment, there is no plan whatsoever, you know. And we have this film and album in the can, and until that's sorted out, there won't be anything, any plans, you know. And I plan to make an album with Yoko, with Phil Spector, in about 2 weeks, you know. So that's my plan. I heard Paul was planning to do an LP too, you know.
Well, so keen was John to promote Instant Karma that he made his first live television appearance for 5 years, along with the Plastic Ono Band, on Top of the Pops. On March the 6th, the title track from the Beatles' forthcoming film and LP was released as a single. The title, Let It Be.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Let it be, whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. But though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. Let it be.
Last Beatles single, Let It Be. The next person to release his own work was Ringo, who, quite apart from his interest in filming, found time to cut an album of songs which were mostly favourites of his parents' generation, arranged by several people. To the background of these various musical activities, there were many business hassles. The Eastmans were in dispute with Klein over the management of the Beatles. Control of their publishing company, Northern Songs, went to Associated Television. And on top of that, Paul found himself siding with the Eastmans, while George, John and Ringo were in favour of Alan Klein. George Harrison explains further.
But it's more of a personal thing, you know, that's down to the management situation, you know, with Apple, because Paul really, it was his idea to do Apple, and once he started going, you know, Paul was very active in there, and then it got really chaotic, and we had to do something about it. When we started doing something about it, obviously, Paul didn't have as much say in the matter, and then he decided, you know, because he wanted Lee Eastman, you know, his in-laws to run it, and we didn't, then that's the only reason, you know, that's the whole basis. But that's only a personal problem that he'll have to get over, because that's the reality is that, you know, he's outvoted, and, you know, we're a partnership. We've got these companies which we all own 25% of each, and if there's a decision to be made, then, like in any other business or group, you have a vote, you know, and he was outvoted 3-1, and if he doesn't like it, it's really a pity, you know, because we're trying to do what's best for the Beatles as a group or best for Apple as a company.
But Paul told Mike Hennessy,
I've got two alternatives. I've got one of just falling in with the fold and Klein and going with Klein and going with the group and doing what the other three want to do in the, on their sort of path, which is virtually to be managed by Klein. Or I can just sort of do what I think's right. It comes down to one basic fact, which is my opinion is that the Beatles, having finished as a group and having actually finished, and me actually being in a new group, a new lineup and everything, I believe that no matter what the consequences are, tax consequences, sorry boys, you can't do it, we've got a contract, blah, 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 I believe that the relationship, certainly the spirit in which we started the group, the whole idea I thought all along was if anyone is in trouble, wants to get out, is in a sticky situation, the idea is that we'll sit down and, like, see what we can do about it. Whereas, in fact, it's just the opposite that's happening. And it boils down to one thing. They have my contract.
And so, like truculent brothers in a family that had fallen out, they continued to argue. Paul announced publicly that he had no intentions of recording again with the Beatles, and, as we said earlier, had prepared an album called McCartney. Even this caused problems. Tony Bramwell, Apple promotion manager at the time.
The McCartney album was to be released at the end of April 1970, as was the Let It Be album. There was a lot of controversy as to whether, in fact, his album should be released at the same time in competition with the Beatle album. And the other Beatles suggested it would be easier if his album was delayed to allow for Let It Be to make its initial impact, and then the McCartney album would be virtually the follow-up to Let It Be. Ringo offered to go round to see Paul and try and explain this to him, which resulted in a strong argument taking place, and Ringo leaving McCartney and deciding to let the album go out on the date that McCartney insisted upon.
Baby, I'm amazed the way you love me all the time. Maybe I'm afraid of the way I love you. Baby, I'm amazed the way you pulled me out of time. You hung me on line. Maybe I'm amazed the way I really need you. Baby, I'm a man.
George Harrison was asked what he thought of the LP.
That would be something, and Maybe I'm Amazed, I think, are great. And everything else, I think, is fair, you know, is quite good. But a little disappointing. But I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be disappointed. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, it's best not to expect anything, and then everything's bonus, you know. But I think those two tracks in particular are really very good. And the others don't, I mean, just don't do much for me. Because, I mean, I can hear other people play better drums and guitars and things. And the arrangements of, like, some of these songs, like Teddy Boy and Junk and stuff, you know, with a little bit more arrangement, you know, they could have sounded better.
That would be something to beach in the falling rain, mama, beach in the falling rain.
Not only do we see each other, but we see so many musicians and other bands and things like that. Maybe Paul does too, but I just get the impression that he doesn't, that he's so isolated from it. He's out on a limb. Yeah. The only person he's got to tell him if the song's good or bad is Linda. And so, you know, in the Beatle days, if somebody came in with a song that was, you know, had a corny line or that was, you know, the others got a bit embarrassed about, we'd say, you know,
man, we was lonely. Yes, we was lonely. And we was hard-pressed to find a smile. Man, we was lonely. Yes, we was lonely. But now we're fine all the while. I used to ride on my fast city line, singing songs that I thought were mine alone. Now let me lie with my love for the time. I am home.
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 And we was lonely. Yes, we was lonely. And we was hard pressed to find a smile.
Paul and Linda McCartney with tracks from their LP released on April the 17th, 1970. Paul's reason for being so firm about the date of issue was simple. With all the business dramas going on, he didn't believe that the Let It Be film and album were as imminent as had been stated, and so was afraid that his production would be delayed further. As it turned out, the Let It Be album, The Beatles' Last, was released on May the 8th. The original tracks had been recorded prior to Abbey Road, and consisted of something like 29 hours of tape, which engineer Glyn Johns cut down to size, and John eventually did some more work on them with Phil Spector.
I Dig a Pygmy by Charles Hawtrey and the Deaf Aids. Phase one in which Doris gets her oats.
I
also we put on Across the Universe, which was a song on the album for the charity album that came out for Wildlife. And that really got lost. It's been around for about 3 years now. 1967, I think we did that.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me. Across the universe, float me under like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe.
Across the Universe. Paul was never happy with Spector's additions to the Let It Be recordings, and one track that particularly offended him was this untypical Beatles sound in The Long and Winding Road.
The long and winding road disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here. Lead me to your door. The wild and windy
the ultimate Beatles, complete with heavenly choir, harp and large string orchestra. It's no wonder Paul wasn't pleased. To the other Beatles, it was history. Recorded during the early part of 1969, it was already 18 months out of date when the film had its premiere in London and 100 major cities round the world. The boys moved further afield. Ringo flew out for a recording session in Nashville, where he was backed by some of the top country and western musicians and singers. The result was this LP, Bukus of Blues.
I left Louisiana, I had me big plans to go out and take me all over this land. To see me the world, I left my sweet girl, gave it a whirl, but now here I stand. Alongside the road, with holes in my soul, in my shoes, and bukus of blues. The freedom should bring. I see me today and know yesterday, for I threw away my most precious things. I see me a man who's lonely, wants only to lose. Bukus of blue.
And there'll be more individual Beatles music in the next programme. But to complete the events of 1970, one can't ignore the emerging talent of George Harrison.
I can't say.
Mike Hennessy of Record Mirror asked George how much influence Phil Spector had had.
A lot, actually. You see, the good thing with Phil for me was that I've always loved everything, you know, all those Phil Spector records. I always liked that. In fact, some of the things I was producing before my own album, I was sort of trying to figure out how he did all that. So it was good because, first of all, you definitely need, an artist definitely needs somebody in the control booth, because you can spend hours routining a song with musicians and come into the control box and find that it's a terrible sound. So you really need somebody, and ideally you need somebody who's sympathetic to what you know. So Phil was great for that. Phil worked on all the sessions for the basic tracks. I did all the overdubs without him, and then he came back and mixed it with me. It was good also to find out, like, Phil's technique of recording, the echo, and just how he makes that sound, because now it's just so obvious, really.
Isn't it a pity? Isn't it a shame?
Isn't It a Pity by George Harrison. We'll hear more from that album too in the next episode. The final solo album of 1970 was by John and contained a very personal collection of sentiment and rock.
We both were
John's rock-influenced vocal sound contrasting very much with this romantic ballad, Love.
Love is real. Real is love. Love is feeling. Wanting to be loved. Love is touch. Touch is love.
Solo John Lennon with Phil Spector on piano. By the end of 1970, there were solo albums by Paul, Ringo, George and John, as well as the last Let It Be Beatles. Paul, having had enough of the discussions and arguments, decided, to all intents and purposes, that the group was finished. To make it official, he filed a court suit which demanded dissolution of the Beatles.
For me, I want to get out of the contract. I think the group's finished, we split, and everything that we ever earned or that we were ever in should now be split, I think. They don't agree. They think it should still continue exactly as planned. But if the three of them wanted to, they could sit down today, write a little bit of paper, and I would be released. And that is all I want, by the way.
And that was the year that was. 1970. The year the music died.
But something touched me deep inside the day. The music died.
It's not as bad as it seems, you know. Like, we're all having a good time individually.
The Beatle music might have died in 1970, but for them personally, it wasn't too sad an occasion. The four ex-members of the group grew in reputation during 1971, and their own music was born. We'll find out about this and hear more of their solo albums in the John, Paul, George and Ringo show next time. Beatles Story was written and produced for the BBC by Johnny Bearley.